Yeah. Luke
Okay.
7:11-19.
All right. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went there, they were cleansed. Okay, so they went to the priest and they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well."
Yeah. So good. So there's a lot within each. We're going to bring up 3 different stories, and there's going to be a lot in each story, okay? I'm just going to share my revelation. And then if you guys have more that you want to share that God points out to you about that story that has to do with what we're talking about, then please feel free to do it. That's what this space is for, right? Encouraging one another, building one another up, and sharing our experiences / revelation, right? It's really our experience, but we're praying it will be revelation to each other. So I always look at the setup here. The lepers were standing off into a distance. They knew obviously who Jesus was. When you're going out and about, people may not know who you are. They may not know you're a daughter of the king. They may not know the healing you possess. They may not know that what they're looking for, you actually house within you, right? You have the power of everything Jesus had, you have in you. So what just stuck out to me about that was it said they stood at a distance. Most of the time when I'm going out, a lot of times when I'm going out, I'm asking before I even get to where I'm going. If I'm going to Starbucks, if I'm going to the library, if I'm running everyday errands, God, open my eyes to those that are standing in the distance. Just open my eyes, open my ears. There's people around you all day, every day. And they may not have actual leprosy, but there's a lot of disease out there. There's a lot of hurt out there. There's a lot of confusion out there. And the very things that made Jesus, made the lepers know that they needed to talk to Jesus, they needed mercy from Jesus, you house it. You house it. So they stood at a distance and they yelled to Jesus. So go out with your eyes open every single day. We don't have time to take a break. And you know, the truth is that when we're walking with the Spirit, it's not as exhausting as we make it. Like, it actually should be the opposite. It should be invigorating to your spirit, invigorating to your body. Because it's not about, I need to do this, I should do this. It's just walking with the Spirit. And there's going to be times when the Spirit has you not doing as much. There's times I go out and I'm like, well, I did not see one need. I'm not going to force it, but I am going to go out with open eyes. Okay. So the setup, though, is they came to him. They came to him. When you're out and about every single day, you might have people that come to you. They don't have to necessarily say, hey, I'm sick. I have leprosy. I have a need. But you'll find when you're standing next to people, you start a casual conversation with them. I've had it over hair. I've had it over just complimenting somebody on something. Like one day I saw a lady at Starbucks and she just looked really pretty. She, to the world's eye, she looked like she just rolled out of bed. But something to me attracted me to her. And I find that this is what the Lord will do. It'll just be like, man, that lady's like really beautiful. I'll just get like a thing like that. She wasn't trying to be beautiful, but something within me pulled towards her. And I'm just like, hey, like, I just want to let you know, like, I think you're really beautiful. Who cares if people think you're weird? Like, at this point, don't they already? So there's an invitation there, right? So then normally what will happen is they'll say a need to me. That lady in particular that I'm saying, talking about with just telling her, you know, like, I just thought she was really pretty. She said, wow, I really needed to hear that today. I've just lost my job and I have this and I that, right? oh, I'm sorry, did you say you had a need? Right? Like, you're thinking before, in our previous mind, we thought, oh my gosh, like, I feel really bad for her. Oh, well, have a better day. You have Jesus in you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have now someone who just offered a need to you. They have no idea maybe what you hold or what you possess, but you now have a need. Your eyes are open and you're like, okay, there's a need there. There's leprosy. Why am I just going to let her go on her way? Tell her to have a better day? No, please. I'm not even going to apologize for myself. I'm not. So you have a need. Okay. And all this talk is really about is just, again, showing you my revelation. It's okay. The healing. So in this particular story, right? The healing came in the obedience. Here's one way that God offers healing is in obedience. He'll offer a word and then he'll say, okay, go to the priest and show them that you're healed. They were not physically healed in front of Jesus at that moment. He just told them to go to the priest and show them that they were healed. And they did it. And they were healed on the way. When you're praying over people, you can fully believe in the healing because of this story. You don't have to see it right in front of you, but you believe that it's happening because in each one of these stories, you're going to find a common theme. I think one main common thing, and that's that Jesus always heals. He always healed. He did not turn anybody away for healing. I've not found it yet. I'll let you know if I find it. I haven't found it yet. Where there's ever a clause where he's like, you know what? I know your nose is falling off. You know, I'm sorry about that big toe that just went, but I'm being glorified in all that. And so go back to your leprosy village. It's all going to work out. You know, I know what you're going through, but I can use that more than I can use your healing. Okay. We'll talk about something similar later on that Jesus kind of says that could debunk that, but it doesn't. I did more digging. So, just know that when you pray, it's a knowing, it's an authority thing. You already know. And it also goes into listening while you're praying. We can pray, and I've talked about this before. When you're praying over people, you're not just praying from here. You've almost got to shut this down so you can pray from here. So you can hear, okay, is this an instant thing, God? Like, we just pray healing? We believe full on. It's already done. The healing's already done. That's not a question. How do we partner? We're just listening for how to partner. What's God saying right now? How do we want to partner? And God will tell you. He's very faithful to tell you. He does not mystify things. He will tell you what it looks like. For them, it looked like them walking in faith to the priest, telling them to show themselves that they've been healed, right? So healing comes in an act of obedience, and there was a process for them. There was a walking forward, believing they were healed. In believing they were healed, too. They could have been like, you are like, you're crazy. I am not healed. But they did it. They walked in obedience. So sometimes too, I don't know. I think that I don't know for sure. You guys can correct me, but if they wouldn't have went, would they have been healed? If they wouldn't have walked in the obedience, would they have been healed? We don't know in this story, but I wonder if at times we're not robbed of our healing because God speaks and we do our own thing. We just step out from underneath and we go our own way. I don't know if that's more for the believer because these lepers clearly believed in what Jesus was doing. Otherwise, why would they call out to him? So something to just work around with the Lord. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I know this hoodie's awesome. That's about it. Okay. Then there was the grace. The grace that Jesus also demonstrated in not revoking their healing for not coming back and praising him. There's some people that you'll see healed, and maybe you're like close to them, and they get healed, and they aren't any closer to Jesus tomorrow as they were before their healing. Watch how Jesus handles that situation. I mean, he's kind of like, hey, guys. But he doesn't go and go, you know, like, forget all of you. He doesn't, you know, pull them back and give them a talking to. The one that comes back, he says, he speaks to him, right? He encourages his heart. But he doesn't completely, like, he could do anything to the ones that don't come back and say thank you. For the people that don't come back and say thank you to you, or to the ones that just don't seem to care that there was an encounter with God. When you get healing, there's an encounter with God. You just continue to pray for increased grace, increased revelation for the people, right? Increased grace, God, increased revelation. Any questions about that story? So again, people can come to you. In this situation, people came to him. People might come to you for prayer. People might come to you for healing. People may come to you, like I said, and not know they're coming to you in those casual conversations where all of a sudden they're complete strangers, but for some reason now they're letting you know about a need in their life. Okay? So you have authority in that situation to pray, believe, and see healing or wholeness or whatever that person needs. You bring the kingdom every time. Okay. Any questions or anything to add just with like that story?
Go ahead. I have one.
Yeah.
Okay. So something that I do quite often is like, I'll just find myself doing it and it's like, it's just complimenting people. Like when I see a person and I'm like, wow, that person, like exactly like what you were saying earlier, like I just recently did this, like the night before last, there was this Indian guy working at Walmart, and I was with my friends, and it was, like, he looked like he was having a really bad day, so I was, like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I hope your day gets so much better, and he was, like, well, my day sucks, and I wanted so badly to just be, like, instantly, I was, like, I just want to give you a hug and, like, pray with you, but he was on the job, and I was, like, but my point is that every single time, like, it is, I believe it's in our nature to care for people. So when you are walking with God and that happens, it's not like you have to force yourself to like pray with them. Like, it's not like, it's like you said earlier, it's not exhausting to be like, oh, it'd be so much easier if I could just say like, oh, I hope you have a better day. Like, people like want people to care for them. And that's what we're like, that's in our nature to do for. And so I guess like my point was is that it's like, if you like, when, I feel like when you're walking with God, you're more connected to your nature. Like when I say your nature, I mean like your spiritual nature, not like your flesh nature or whatever, but like, I feel like you're just way more connected. And it's just like, you, I don't feel like I ever leave the situation being like, man, I really regret praying for that person. That was so embarrassing. Like, if anything, you're like, I got you, fam, you know?
For sure. For sure. That is so good, Mariah. Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing the things that bring you. And Mariah, I encourage you, like, if he's on the job, like, be, you know, like, I know you're already sensitive to the spirit, but, I mean, they're on the job, but you can bring the kingdom. And when you do that, and anything, the enemy will definitely try to use anything to get you to not. Like, oh, what about these people? I know that when I was praying for Peter, the, like, Kroger worker the other day, there were people that came right after that and were, like, getting, like, laying down their stuff as I'm, like, reaching my hand over to start praying over him, right? And my initial thought was, like, oh, man, better make this snappy. And I was just like, you know what? We're about to do business, and they might need prayer, too. So just remember, you're bringing the kingdom. And whether they're at work or not, obviously you're going to be sensitive to the spirit, but continue just to take the opportunity, because what you can do in the spirit, praying from the spirit for him, is even going to supersede what your hug would do. And I'm sure you've got awesome hugs. So remember that too. Okay. Anybody else have anything? Also, believing when they walk away, right? So just a final note on that, believing when they walk away. sometimes when we're praying for people and God gave us the word and we're really in it, and then we believe and we're like, you know, I prayed over this lady's knee a couple times and Peter's foot a couple times, and each time it got better, but not at the end, they weren't going, oh my gosh, like the pain's fully gone, right? And then when I left, I was like praying and I'm like asking God, I'm like, why am I not seeing like the fully gone, like right there, right? But then in this story, the Lord's just showing me, like, when you walk away, you believe just as much as when you laid your hand on them. Because they walked away. When they walked away, they still had the leprosy. It was in the walking that they were healed. Okay.
I have a thought, Megan, about that.
Yeah.
Is praying for complete strangers is a really vulnerable place to be. You're putting yourself in a really vulnerable position. And one of the things that I have become familiar with is when I put myself in any vulnerable position, whether it's being honest about something that's going on in my life or praying for someone, immediately when I walk away, the enemy wants to bring this remorse for doing it. Like, oh my gosh, you look so stupid, you know, or, oh my goodness, that was just the dumbest thing. Or, you know, all those thoughts of like, tearing away the gift immediately. And I think that especially happens when you're beginning to practice being confident in that way, beginning to practice stepping out in faith in that way. The more you practice it, I think the easier it is to catch those lies earlier and earlier and then immediately, you know, eliminate them altogether. But I think that's important, especially in one of the things that I teach the people in my class is vulnerability remorse. Is a real thing, you know, and it's something to be aware of so that when it comes, you can immediately just say, no, wait a minute, like what you're saying, I'm going to believe what's true here. God has complete healing for this person. And God, I pray that you would continue to heal them, you know, and it's not about me.
Right. Yeah, that's good, Anna.
I have a thought too. It's still kind of processing through my mind, so I'm going to just kind of air it out with you guys. Okay. It's interesting to me that he does point out that the 9 didn't show back up. Mm-hmm. And he said, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And in my mind, Jesus is always teaching, and he's got his disciples around. And I feel like this was a really teachable moment for everyone watching. He points out that the 9 didn't come back, but the Samaritan did. I don't know if the others were Samaritans or not, but it says this guy was. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's like that kind of rings a bell, you know, like Jesus is teaching the disciples, like, look at this guy. He was willing to come back and praise God, you know, and he was one that we're all Jews and we're all doing this thing, walking the streets and healing people. And this guy's like, he fights everything that he probably knows to come back and praise God. And to me, that's like huge too. You know, I know we're talking about healing, but think about the implication it has on us as we give praise to God too, just for the things that he does.
For sure.
I just think that's really cool.
Yeah. Good. Anybody else on that one before we move on? All right. Larissa, hey. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
So just to catch you up really quick, we're just kind of talking about healing and that it's always God's heart to heal. And then we're kind of looking at how Jesus walked in the just a couple of different examples. Obviously, like, Jesus healed a lot of different times, but I just pulled a couple of instances to kind of pick them apart as far as what pulled him into the healing, who was affected, all of that stuff, to kind of basically just encourage us in our everyday life to be walking in that same authority, okay? Because, like, is anybody, like, a little pumped up, like, that when we leave our house tomorrow and you go to Walmart, like, eyes open, right?
Yeah, I've been going to Hy-Vee and praying for people. It's awesome.
Yeah, like, just on point. That's all we're doing. That is what the calls are about, everybody, like, just a fresh breath, because I don't know if you have crazy people around you like me, near you, to be like, hey, whoosh, wake up, like, let's get back on point. Right, like, they're few and far between. So, but here, we're all connected, and we can come every Friday just to get the fresh, oh, yeah, this is what we're doing. And maybe nobody else around you is doing it, but that's what we're doing.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
All right, cool. Second story, we're going to Luke 7, 11 through 17. And again, I'm going to let somebody else read it so that Ryan wants to read it.
Oh, I was going to say something before you moved on to the next subject. Sure.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
How you were talking about how, like, everybody kind of needs that crazy person to just, like, take a moment and, like, this is what we're really doing. If anything, it's like you should be like, I'm inspired to be that crazy person. I've always kind of been like that crazy person that's like, get yourself together. But like that could even, like, not just you, Megan, like, we can all be crazy people that need to, like, wake each other in the face. And
yeah,
mom was my crazy person. It's like we need that, because if we don't, we'll just think that everything's stupid, like anything out of the ordinary is stupid, and God does a lot of stuff that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
sure. Yeah, Mariah in the house. Okay, so who's gonna read Luke? Hold on, I try to give you no. Why am I okay? Luke 7, 11 through 17. Anybody want to read that for me? Hopefully, I have these written down right. We're gonna find out.
I'll read for you, Megan.
All right, thanks, Yvette.
Okay. Soon afterward, he was on his way to a town called Nain. His disciples and a large crowd were traveling with him. Just as he neared the gate of the town, a dead man was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was also with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Don't cry." Then he came up and touched the open coffin. And the pallbearers stopped, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Then fear came over everyone, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God visited his people." This report about him went throughout Judea and all of the vicinity.
Okay, I love this story for so many reasons. Again, I'm going to focus on just the healing, kind of the whole scenario behind the healing and what was going on, right? The setup, those who are affected by the healing had no idea that they needed the healer around. He was dead. They weren't looking for someone to come and heal, okay? They weren't looking for Jesus. Nobody had him on the phone. Nobody was hunting down his people. Nobody in this story even says, like, "Oh, look, there's Jesus. Maybe he can help us." The funeral's happening. It's happening. It's already going down. Again, when you are in an atmosphere, people may not know that you house the Holy Spirit. Their brokenness, what they need, they may not come to you. They don't have to just come to you. You can go to them. Jesus went to them. You now have authority. Before, like, I always was kind of like, well, you should be really sensitive to, like, who you should go to, who you shouldn't go to. Especially, this is where I struggle a little bit sometimes, is somebody that I see in a wheelchair or crutches or whatever. Normally, I'm like, obvious need here. When that funeral went through, obvious need for Jesus. But a lot of times, we're so worried about offending or being politically correct that we will not approach the one on crutches in the wheelchair with the obvious disability because we don't want to upset them, right? So you trust the Holy Spirit goes before you in that situation. It's an obvious need. Are you just going to let them go like that? Like, Jesus went to them. There's other stories in the Bible where we have the example of Jesus going to them, right? The man by the well, or not by the well, by the pool of Bethesda. Different stories like that where Jesus goes to them. He meets them where they're at. I do believe that there's a way of encountering where you just ask God for wisdom. You see the obvious need, and there comes a point where that need moves you with compassion. Jesus was moved by compassion. I kind of look at this as an invitation of compassion. When I see somebody, I'm a very compassionate person anyway. I empathize with, like, I mean, I hurt. My son's the same way. He cries at the Prince of Egypt when Moses is in the basket. He can't take it. He even hears of anybody hurting, he's crying. So I kind of, that's kind of already there for me, but Jesus was similar. He was so moved by compassion, it drew him to the situation. So when you feel moved with compassion, you see someone, you're like, man, like, they're like really hurting. Or, you know, a lot of times what I used to do before is like feel that and then just like, like, oh man, that sucks. That's so horrible. But I mean, I host the kingdom, right? So it's no longer an invitation to duck and run or to just feel that. Your emotions are triggered to kind of just like be like, oh, hey, there's something going on. But then most of the time we've been so conditioned to like, oh man, that's so hard. I feel sorry for you. I'm going to go get Subway now. You know, like, let that compassion motivate you forward into walking with the Father in that space. Let compassion compel you forward. You feel compassion towards somebody, let it propel you forward into the situation. Ask the Lord, okay, God, I see it. I feel it. What do I do here? Where do I go from here? Start a conversation that maybe doesn't start with their wheelchair. You know, like, hey, how's your day going? Blah, 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 right? You can go there. Cool, can I just pray with you? That might be a little bit more well-received than I see you're in a wheelchair. I happen to have something for that. You know, so let be a little bit, you know, smooth with that. But just know, I can't hear you guys. It is a little intimidating when I'm throwing out jokes, but I'm believing that I'm funny and that you're getting I'm not just, like, insensitive, okay?
If we're not laughing on the outside, we're laughing on the inside, Megan.
Okay.
Exactly.
So compassion compels you forward. Jesus's compassion compels us forward in these situations too, right? Sometimes they come to him, sometimes you go to them. Sometimes they come to you, sometimes you go to them. The healing, again, Jesus was moved by compassion. Nobody asked him for it. I used to get hung up on that too. Well, nobody's asked me for it. They didn't ask me what I thought. They didn't ask anything of me. But here we see Jesus step out of that and take a big risk. Be risky. He straight up stopped a funeral. He stopped. Let that soak in for a minute. They're walking with the casket. Like I said, we're kind of nervous about what someone in a wheelchair or whatever might think of us if we just approach them and ask them to pray for them. Everybody's mourning. They lost somebody important to them. This mother was broken. She was a widow. She was hurting. He took a huge risk. Christ invites you into the same risk because you know what? He's got your back. The same spirit in him is in you. You can do the same thing. You can step out the same way.
I have something to say, Megan.
Yeah, thanks.
Something that I got from that was like, okay. So what you were talking about, how he took a huge risk, like going, he like practically stopped a funeral and like this kid was like already dead. The first thing he says is to his mom and he's like, don't cry. Like that's the first thing I noticed. Like he's got so much, I don't know, like his character is so cool. Like the first thing he does is goes to his mom. He's like, chill, I got you. Like, she doesn't know what's going to happen. She doesn't know that he's going to, like, bring him back to life. He's just, like, his compassion brought him forward, and he saw that as she was crying, and that's just, like, that hit me really hard, and I don't even know why, because it's not even that big, but it's, like, the fact that he told her, like,
His heart went out
to her, and he knew that the people were sad. But, like, they didn't even know what was going to happen. I thought that was, like, kind of cool. Anyways, that's all I had to say.
Yeah, and what I also think is great about that is, like, why could he do that? Why could he do that? Why could he do these things? Because he knew his identity. how would you have just approach a hurting mother like that at the funeral and know what you can do? Because he knew what he could do. He knew. A lot of times when I pray for people, it like, and there's another, we'll get there. So he knew his authority, and he knew, and he fully believed in what was going to happen. His identity, his grounded, rooted identity, already knowing this is what's going to happen. Sometimes we have identity issues. And when we approach people, we don't have the knowing. We lack the knowing. The more you dig in with God, the more you keep asking God, you keep rooting your identity. This is who I am. What I'm telling you guys, this is who you are. Whether you believe it or not, you're going to get there. This is who you are. You have asked God into your heart, and you've got the Holy Spirit. This is who you are. So I think it's his identity in knowing of who he is. I can approach her. I can tell her not to cry. Because I know the outcome. I know my authority to bring down heaven right now. So I have the authority to tell her it's going to be okay. So continuing to know our identity and having it rooted so we can take the risks like that. So yeah, Mariah, I completely agree with you. It's like, it just gets me every time, every single one of these stories. Anybody else want to add anything to that?
Something that I had was just the compassion. Yeah. And people could feel that if you're just treating them like a project, like trying to get another person out of the wheelchair, or if you're actually care for them genuinely. So I think that the reason why he was able to get away with something that was kind of an awkward situation, like stopping a funeral, is that he had such a love that overflowed and they felt that. So.
And you guys can probably feel that too, right? Like, you've probably taken risky situations and like approached people, and it's totally like you just have favor. Like in everybody that I've ever prayed for, I've not had one person that I felt went away offended. Because I'm not moving just to check one off, like, oh, look, he can walk now, check, I'm awesome. It's like, no, my heart's so moved by compassion for you. Like, and like what you're saying, they can sense that. It's like, I'm not about my own business right now. Like, I see you're hurting and I want to care for you right now. And I know my identity, so guess what? We're gonna make this happen. So it's so good, compassion. Motivated forward by compassion. Like I said, I have compassion all over the place. So, I mean, I'm motivated constantly by that thing. If you notice that you lack compassion, man, the answers all go back to just continue sitting with the Lord. Increase revelation, increase grace. Increase revelation, increase grace of who you are, Father. Last story. And this is just one, man, me and God have been going through this week, and I'm going to probably be on it for a while. Takes me forever to get through any book of the Bible ever, or a chapter, even a verse could take me, you know, a month. So I'm on this. I'm probably going to be on it for a while. I don't know, whatever he has. But this is my third example of healing. And it is in John 11. And one, and it's like the whole chapter. So we're probably going to break it up. I'm going to go ahead and read it just so I can stop when I want to go on a tangent about it. Just noticed you guys were getting a really serious face at the camera. Sorry.
Well, I was thinking about a funeral that I'd heard about earlier today. So.
So you were like, man, could have done that different.
No, I didn't go there. It was actually, I was going to get together with somebody from my prayer group, and we were going to go shopping together. But of course, my idea and her idea was, let's go shopping with Jesus. And so that means people getting loved on.
Yeah.
And, well, we were going to do that. But then suddenly she had a death in the family, and she couldn't do that. She had to pack today. Mm. And so I said, oh, sorry, I'm so sorry about that. How are they related? Blah, 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 blah. And is there anything I could pray for you? So I didn't say, let's go for resurrection of the dead, but I was like trying to, you know, I want to, start the conversation first. So.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. You were propelled by compassion, and that's where, so good. There's really no to, like, if you start feeling pressure to just, like, do all this, that's why we prayed for revelation before. We're not trying to create experiences. Yeah. We're trying to be motivated out of revelation. Yeah. Experiences are more like behavioral modifications. Okay, she said this is what it should look like. So I'm going to go replicate that thing because that's what she said it should look like and that's what I should do. When God speaks to you in that form and you go, oh, okay, this is the thing. I'm going to step out in this. But when you're forcing it, that's different. You know when you're forcing it and you know when you're like, God spoke a revelation. And now we're starting to do it. It's risky. We're uncomfortable. We're like sweating before we even get there. But like, that's all part of the very first part of it, right? So take all of what we're saying and use it and ask God to give you revelation of it. If it feels like you're forcing it right now, ask God for revelation of what you're hearing. I've heard these stories before. Would you mind handing me my charger? Sorry, my computer charger, that black cord. I've heard these stories before. Wasn't until now that I'm getting revelation of them. I've been walking some of this stuff out, but now as I'm reading these stories, I'm like, okay, let's like really look at this. Where is my authority? Where does the line start? Where does it stop? All of that stuff, kind of picking those apart. I've known this, but now I'm seeing it more in his word and just picking out the stories to just increase my faith, increase the revelation he already gave me. Okay, so I don't know if that makes sense, but pray for revelation. Don't feel like you have to force this. Pray for the revelation. If you're suspicious and you're like, okay, what she's saying makes sense, pray for the revelation to hit your heart. Go from here to here with revelation. Okay, so John 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So this story is a little bit different because it's not a stranger. It's not somebody he doesn't know. It's somebody he knows and it's somebody that he loves. Anna, like what you were saying, you feel vulnerable when it's somebody that you don't know. I'm way more vulnerable with somebody that I do know because they're about to see my crazy, like unexposed. And I don't know who hasn't seen that by now, but there's a new level. Sometimes you never really know where it's going to start and where it's going to stop. So this was somebody that Jesus loved. It wasn't a stranger. It wasn't just somebody he was passing or somebody that had heard of him. It was somebody that he had relationship with. So guess what? You have authority with those you have relationship with. Which I'm just totally seeing some stuff for myself right now. Okay. Because I don't know about for you guys, but there's a passage in scripture that talks about like a prophet is not welcome in his own hometown. So for a long time, I was kind of like, I don't like praying over people I know because I'm afraid like that they're going to think, well, she already knows these things about me because I do operate a lot in the prophetic. So I will generally try to not pray over people I know for that simple fact of being disregarded because they know me. Does that make sense? But Jesus did not shy away from whether they knew him or whether they didn't know him. Okay. That's just for me. If anybody gleaned from that, great.
It's because it also kind of changes your relationship too.
Yeah.
It brings a whole new dynamic into the relationship that alters how you relate to one another.
And what you see here too is there's an expectation on Jesus. Like there's an expectation on him because they're coming to him. They're saying like, no, we haven't gotten there yet, but I'll just let you in on this. They wanted him to come back with them. To heal Lazarus. He was sick. So they're like, we know you can heal. We know who you are. Can you come back with us? There was an expectation because of their relationship that Jesus respond instantly. And this is why all this stuff, which, I mean, I don't want to give the ending of the story away, but all this is contingent on intimacy with the Father. All of it. The way you do life, the people you encounter, all of this hinges on intimacy. The way you know if you send the leper away to go to the priest and walk away healed or unhealed, the way you know to walk up to a casket, the only way you know these things is intimacy. That's it. You want to get better at this stuff? Intimacy. Seek him for him. Don't seek healing. Don't seek. Seek intimacy. That's it. Get to know God for him. Seeking healing. I honestly, me studying this stuff had nothing to be like, how do I become a better healer? Not that. Wasn't that at all. It was like, God, man, I love your heart. Show me more. Show me more. Okay, so I seem to be stepping out and like talking to people. Jesus, how'd you do it? Right? Like, it's that intimacy of like, God, teach me some stuff. Yeah. If you feel a pull towards something in scripture, maybe it's, you know, casting out demons. Maybe it is raising the dead. And you're like, man, God, like, it's so fascinating to me. Teach me some things here. It's all contingent on intimacy. We don't chase healing. We chase him. That's it. Okay, so there was an expectation on him too, which people are going to want to put expectation on you. And that expectation can sometimes try to pull you out of intimacy. Because they want you to be, they want you to respond. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't respond instantly to a person that was closer to him. But when you see him out and about, you often see him instantly respond. I think that's interesting. And I also think that it has a lot to do with his identity. Again, he knew who he was. When you know who you are, you know when to push forward and you know when to hold back. You know when to run, you know when to rest. Identity and authority rooted in intimacy. All of it. So I like the fact, because if it was your best friend, if it was your best friend and they needed healed, and they're like, please come. I know my heart. And I would probably be in my car on my way handling business. But there's a spirit and intimacy that Jesus knew, where he's like, he tells them, okay, we're going to keep reading because I'm just like going on. But where Jesus tells them, it's not unto death. This is in verse 4. When Jesus heard that, okay, that Lazarus was sick, when he heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, that kind of like debunks my very first thing where I was like, Jesus never said, right? Well, he kind of says that here. He kind of says, I can use what's going on, but it doesn't negate the fact that he didn't heal him, because he still heals him. Okay, so even though Jesus does say, I can use this form like for the bigger glory, that's just kind of like the healing that's going to come is going to be even bigger than just healing him of his right now sickness. You have healing sickness, raising the dead. Okay? So Jesus is saying, I'm still going to heal him, but it's going to be even bigger than what it could be if I just responded right now. Okay? So, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister. I mean, he's just all sorts of invested in these relationships. The sisters, the brother, he loves them. So it's going to take strong authority and identity in these situations, right? Because he's not just invested in Lazarus, he's invested in all of them. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. So he's like, all right, we can go now. We've been here 2 days. You know, we're wrapping up business. Let's go ahead and tend to my friend. At least that's how I kind of read it. And I'm like, come on, let's get on it, right? The disciples said, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Seems to be an interesting side note to where they're going. And are you going there again? Right? Like the disciples, I just love them. They're like, hey, what do you think about not going there? Because they kind of want to kill you. And maybe we should just, we could go anywhere but there. That'd be fine. It's just so funny to me because I would, that's probably what I would do. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Verse 14, when Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for their sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." I'm not really sure what all that's about. It sounds a little dark to me. Verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found, like, I just love how Jesus is just like, I mean, he's God, but he's man. And then he's just like, you know, he's sleeping. He's like trying to put, he's trying not to be goth about it or emo. He's like, he's sleeping. We should probably go wake him up. And then they're like, oh, well, if he's sleeping, then won't he get better? He's dead, people. He's dead. He's dead. Just like he tries. He really tries hard not to make it like a brash, whatever. But they need it. They have to have it. Okay, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. But Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So he dies. Like, in a worldly sense, he dies. And this is where I get, like, a little hung up, because Jesus told them that he wouldn't die, right? And then he dies by a worldly standard. It's not unto death. So we have two deaths, right? We have a spiritual death and we have a physical death. So I feel like for them, Jesus comforts them in saying, when this is happening, here's my word, that he's not dead unto death. When God gives us a word about healing, I feel like he is always so faithful to give us the end of the story before we have to go through it and just guess. How's this thing going to turn out? When we pray and we seek him, like, he tells us how it's going to turn out. He told them how it's going to turn out. No matter what it looks like, he's not dead unto death. This is all going to work for the greater glory of God. You're going to see it. It's going to be big. You're going to see God's glory manifested. He's not dead unto death. He gave it to him before anything even happened. Before Lazarus gets even sicker, before Lazarus actually dies, he gives them that word, a breath of life in the midst of the storm, because it gets confusing in the midst of the storm. When you know somebody who has cancer, when you know somebody who's struggling, it gets dark, people. It gets super dark. And then we forget, like, oh, this is what God said. God gave me this peace. Hold on to it. Because you see right here, he gave it to him. But then we'll question it too, and we'll reason it. And we'll be like, well, maybe he didn't mean. The one thing, like I said, the reason I kind of struggle a little bit with Jesus talking spiritual versus physical a little bit is because how did they know how to take him? How did they know? Like, they didn't clearly know how to take him. Because it'll say later on that one of the sisters says, well, I know he'll be raised again at resurrection. Right? There seems like, anyway, that's just me thinking out loud. Like, he gave them a word to hold on to, but when they're seeing it in the depths of the darkness, how did they know that Jesus meant, like, not unto death? Because we could easily go, well, he meant, like, spiritually he's not going to die. We know he had, you know, he accepted Christ and he's in heaven. So, because that's what we hear as Christians too all the time. It's like, well, they received their healing because now they're in heaven or whatever, right? I just think that this, I don't know, Jesus and I have work to do. It's fine. So, picking up, we're almost done. I promise, don't fall asleep yet. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Verse 28, and when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up, quickly went out, following her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, groaning to himself, man, when you're talking about people in your circle, great risk, great expectation. They're already, think about the man in the casket. Jesus showed up, raised the guy. Everybody praised God. No connection there afterwards, right? He leaves town. It's done. God gets the glory. But now you're like in a family setting here. And they're all kind of like accusing him, like, where were you? Like, you do all this stuff for everybody else, and if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened, and now look. Like, that to me, that seems way riskier than raising the man in the casket with the family that he wasn't connected to. People pleasers, you know, like, you just have to be rooted in your identity. Have to know who you are. Because if you have your family coming at you saying, well, you should have done this or you should have done that, the temptation is to fight back, right? Jesus just wept. He just mourns from the inside because he sees their hearts. They don't believe. They don't believe in what he said. He gave them a word at the very beginning. And now they're just accusing him of dropping the ball. He hasn't even been around long enough to do the work he came to do. But they're already after him. They're already accusing him. They're already disappointed in him. All of that stuff that comes with family, that comes with intimacy in the worldly sense. Intimacy in the worldly sense can seem very, very risky because these things like to piggyback on that. Disappointment, expectation, all that. Unless we're rooted in identity. That changes things just a little bit. We're getting, I promise. Jesus said to her, did I not say, this is my favorite part. Jesus said to her, okay, back up, blah, blah, blah. 38, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That phrase just has totally wrecked me this whole week. Did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? If you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. 4 days later. 4 days later, that guy was dead. He was in the tomb. And he told her, if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. Like, that makes the hair on my arm stand up. because I've seen some things, but this just blows the lid off that, because he's saying, hey, if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God. And then you're going to see the glory of God, and you're going to see the glory of God. All you got to do is believe. Then they took away the stone. I'm just going to cut to the chase here. Lazarus gets raised from the dead. In case you didn't know that, he makes it. But it's the work before that that just really gets me. Like, there's so much. This whole chapter is so meaty. Because the other things were kind of cut and dry. He shows up on the scene. He does what he does. We looked at how he's compelled into that. But this is different. There's so much intertwined in this story. Literally, it's probably going to take me months to get through this story and deal with some things. But the fact that I know that if I get to that place of belief, that I'm going to see the glory of God. But here's the thing. To get there, I've got to deal with my unbelief. Because let's be real. Are you going to go to some guy that's been in the mortuary for 4 days and call him back to life? Maybe you will. And if you are, you're teaching the next class next week. Like, I'm getting there. I'm going to be there. We're going to do this. But I'm just saying right now, there's some unbelief in me that's got to get dealt with. And it's getting dealt with. And each time you take a risk, right, like the hearing or the blind or the wheelchairs, right, we're walking that out. Each time you walk it out, like all these stories are just to increase your faith. Well, Jesus did it. I can do it. You know, you watch, like, if you have children or, you know, you have a parent and you watch them and you're like, oh, my mom did that. I can do that. Rhythm, she's 3. She makes up exercise moves all the time now, and she'll tell me what they are because she watches her mom. So she watches me, and then she, like, tries to do it right. Some of her moves I'm actually starting to use. So we have a father. We have an awesome, like, father. But we also have some stuff that needs dealt with in our hearts. So the thing that I've been really pressing into the Lord, I'm just going to be totally authentic and real with you guys. As I've been studying the story, I'm getting so wrecked. So wrecked, because there's unbelief in here. There's unbelief. Absolutely has to get dealt with. And I was listening to a sermon on this. I normally don't even listen to sermons because I just want to hear what God, I just need the revelation. I hope this doesn't sound prideful, but I'm not trying to have someone else's revelation. I need that revelation myself. But I was listening to a sermon on just this, just to see what someone else was thinking or kind of what revelation they had. And he was talking about unbelief, and he was saying, like, how when we have unbelief, you know, Mary and Martha came to Jesus asking them for something, and Jesus raised them from the dead. I hope I'm going to say this right. I just need to just speak from my heart. The gist of it was, what happened in your life that you asked God to raise something from the dead and it didn't happen? Or you asked God for something and it didn't happen? And that's where a lot of our root of unbelief comes from. And I was laying in bed. I don't cuss. I said a cuss word because I'm like, this is not something you deal with when you're laying in bed right now. Because what instantly came up for me was, I was like, my parents divorced when I was like 4. Or like 3 or 4. And my dad, like, from the time I can remember praying, my dad always was like, let's pray for your mom to come back. We were Catholic then. We lit candles every Sunday for mom to come home. It was mom, 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 pray for your mom comes home. We can be a family. It'll be great. We'll all be back together again. Pray for your mom to come home. Pray for your mom to come home. Like, to be 4, and then that's what you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, and it never happens. Like, I didn't know that. I would never assume that my unbelief came from that ever. I had even rationalized. I'm like, well, no wonder she didn't come home. Like, I love my dad, but, you know, I could see why that didn't work out. So I'd even, like, rationalize, like, you know, it's okay. I get it. But then that's why Holy Spirit is an amazing teacher, because he knows you better than you know yourself. You can't even rely on yourself or your own answers, because we'll always just scratch the surface. We'll always just take the pond scum right off the top and be like, oh, it must be this. And then we'll keep trying to, like, work on this thing, But then it, like, the pond scum keeps coming up and keeps coming up. And then you're like, why does this thing keep coming up? Because you're trying to figure it out here. So every time you pray and you're like, bring it up, God. Show me, what's the root of my unbelief? What is it? Because it has to get dealt with. Otherwise, when we're praying over, we're gonna hear, we're gonna see those deaf ears open, we're gonna see those blind eyes open, because those aren't as risky as going into the tomb to pull out the dead man for 4 days. Because for me, it was like, God, why always when it comes to the big thing and I'm like waiting to see the big thing happen, there's a piece of my heart that goes, is it really gonna happen? Is it really gonna be there? At that moment when I really need it, is it really going to be there? Like, I knew that was in there. Even though I go out, even though I pray over people, even though I believe, I knew there was a small portion of my heart that said, I don't know if you're going to be there. Don't know if you're going to be there. I think you're going to be there. Keep reading that you're going to be there. Totally seeing you be there in a lot of these areas. But what about that? What about that big thing? Because that's huge. So now I have this thing and I get to keep doing work with God on it. Okay, this is where the root of my unbelief stems from. This is where it didn't happen. It stayed dead. Felt like it stayed dead. It didn't come out of the tomb. Now what do I do with that? Okay, so for you, praying through, what is the root of my unbelief? Do I have unbelief? Some of you guys may not have that, but it's something to go in with the Holy Spirit and just say, God, expose me right now. Expose me. Do I have unbelief? Yes or no? All right, God. Now, can you show me where it started? Show me where it started. Show me what happened in my life that was the root of this unbelief. Let's take just a couple of minutes. I want to be still and give a little bit of time. If you guys can hang with me just a couple minutes, I want you to take some time to journal. I'm going to put on my Jesus music because I think it just kind of helps things. If you can hear it, hopefully it's like you can hear it. Doesn't matter. You can have your own, but I want to take some time just to journal and get with the Holy Spirit. We can just start this process together. Asking the Lord, do I believe? Just ask him if you believe. Write that question down and then write down, if it's a yes, ask the Lord, what do you want to teach me? Like, ask him where he wants to take you next. If it's yes, you believe, you've got it, you're there. What do you want to teach me? What's the next step for me? Okay. If it's a no, why do I struggle to believe? And when did this begin? Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What day is it today?
October 9th.
Thank you.
If you get an idea of like the Lord kind of showing you a time or something that happened in your life that really rooted that unbelief in your life, ask the Lord to show you truth in that situation. Ask him to show you and kind of lead you through that encounter, what happened, and what he wants to say about that situation. Thank you. Does anybody need more time for that, or do they feel like a little bit more time?
I need some more time.
Okay.
I'm like getting Holy Ghost rabbit tracks. Like, I'm seeing how it's affecting my whole life.
Okay. Well, we'll probably hang for like 3 more minutes on this, and then I just encourage you guys, if you know there's just more and more and more, that when we get off the call, you just pick it up where you leave it off, okay? So about 3 more minutes, and then we're going to wrap up. Thank you. All right. Again, I just encourage you guys that you're onto something, right? Like, God's showing us stuff. Don't stop doing that. Whatever God's showing you right now, just because I'm going to carry this call on so we can wrap up here pretty soon, that doesn't give you permission just to drop the ball. Like, God's opening your eyes for a reason, and we've got work to do, okay? Does anybody feel like they want to share anything that God has spoke to them or that God's kind of, like, opened your eyes and you're like, what? Mariah, go ahead.
Okay. Something that, like, I've never, like, I've always felt kind of weird because ever since I was younger, I've never really dealt with, like, oh my gosh, is God, like, really here? Because I've been really blessed to be in a really godly environment growing up. But something that, like, I realized that I feel like I struggle with most and I've been kind of, like, ignoring and, like, the back burner and, like, is that I do these things called reality checks every day. And it's where I look up to the sky and I'm like, and then I move my hands around and I remind myself that, like, this life is beautiful and God gave it to us. And every decision we make is a part of our journey and that, like, I'm not just, like, we're not just existing. And that's something I've dealt with for a long time. Like, I would become really depressed about it is, like, why are we just existing? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And I've been ignoring the fact that, like, God just doesn't want us to just exist. Like, we're not here just to be, like, okay, something it's really hard for me to process, but, like, there was no time before God where we had the opportunity to beg for his mercy or beg for everything he's given us, beg for Jesus. Like, he just willingly gave it to us and because he loves us so much because his character is adventurous and his character is alive. And it's not like something I've been realizing is that, like, we're not just existing, and that, like, kind of hit me in the face. Like, we actually have more than a purpose. Like, this is such a big deal, but it's not overwhelming. It's, like, exciting. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. And that's revelation to your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Total revelation, and revelation changes how you do tomorrow.
Like, yeah, definitely.
It makes sense to me because, like, that's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that just went off in your brain, or, like, the Holy Spirit just went off and was just like, hey, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
So good, Mariah. Thank you for sharing.
No awesome. Problem. And my mom had to leave because something really important happened, so she had to go downstairs.
Okay.
So I just took her
home. Okay, no problem. Anybody else?
So, yeah, Megan, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is something I was talking to Meg the other day about was God's had me off and on a fast since, like, July. And Megan and I are a part of this fast that's going on right now with a group of us. And I was telling her the other day that I just kind of had this attitude of whatever, I'm just going to eat and do whatever I want. So it was almost like an act of selfishness. Which I guess you could relate to unbelief because I just didn't have belief in something bigger than myself. But when we were just praying about it and talking about it with the story of Lazarus, it just related back to Jesus loved Lazarus. And I don't know if we hit on it. I mean, we hit on it, but I don't know if, like, we stressed it enough that Lazarus and Martha and Mary, they would have had Jesus over. There's stories about him being there. Like, they were really good friends. And so I'm kind of relating it in that aspect to that selfishly, like, he could have ran back if he was, like, in the selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
But he was looking at something bigger than himself. He was looking to the Father's timing, the Father's heart, the Father's will, something bigger than himself, instead of just running back. Because if somebody was, like, telling me, hey, your child's in the other room hurting, I wouldn't, like, finish checking my emails and, like, kind of doing what I wanted to do. Like, you would probably run in there and go check on your child to make sure, like, everything's okay. So it kind of just hit me with this like idea of just selfishness. Like that's kind of my thing. Like I'm being selfish in this season, and I have to repent for that in this quiet time. But that was just kind of big for me, was the Lord, like Jesus, he was waiting on God's timing, and he knew that it was bigger than himself, it was bigger than his feelings, it was bigger than the emotion. Like he did show emotion, but he didn't react in his emotion. He didn't say, oh my God, but this feels so hard and it's still so scary. Like he knew who he was in his Father. He knew what his Father was saying. So he knew the timing of the Father. And I just find that highly important. And it was also preparing for what Jesus was going to do in his resurrection. It was kind of preparing the way. So that was kind of the revelation that I got, was selfishness can be a way of unbelief.
Yeah, that's good. Oh my gosh, that's really good. So good. Anybody else?
I can. I guess for me, I was asking, okay, God, do I have unbelief? And he asked me a question in return. And I was like, do you have fear? And I'm like, yeah. And I thought, okay, well, what do I ask now? Well, where did that fear start? And so I asked, and I saw myself as a toddler. Mm-hmm. And I saw, like, my parents arguing about money. And I was like, okay, I don't even remember that, but that's pretty likely because that happened a lot growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, because we were always in lack. And we're not now. We haven't been for a couple of years, but apparently that made a lasting impact on my life. And mm-hmm. And so I saw is that it was almost like a distrust, because sometimes it seemed like we get provision, then it seemed like other times we weren't. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like an unbelief starting early on there about, okay, we pray and pray, and then sometimes we see it, and then sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, I just kind of started a discussion about that, but I guess I still have to journal about that today after this hangout, but where is it? And what I was hearing was, the truth is that I am the one that has sustained you. Mm-hmm. And that it was like the wrong perspectives from their own lives and from their own influences that were keeping them from receiving. And mm-hmm. I actually saw like angelic, like outside of the door, and they're like, come on, can we go in? Like, can we get provision? Mm-hmm. Like, and I also heard like God saying to me that like my grace is a gift. And so but like fear kept them from receiving. So to see that, and then he started like reminding me of like some cool things that did happen. Like people brought us food like randomly. They didn't even know we needed it. Or people, like we literally got a car one time. That was before my lifetime though, but I heard about that story where somebody just gave us a car. Like ridiculous stuff. And so I don't know, I'm still processing it.
That's so awesome, man. That I love that, like, God showed you, like, something that happened in your childhood that you're like, all right, I would never even, like, know that. But, you know, then when you, like, see it, you're like, okay, well, so asking God questions, knowing how to ask God questions is huge. He'll tell you. He's, like, he's so good like that. I absolutely love that. And I love how, like, God is showing you a snippet of, like, what fear cost your parents. And, like, he's showing you, do you have fear? So what is fear costing you, like, in your life? And, like, he's just opening your eyes to be like, it doesn't have to cost you anything because you don't have to operate in it. But that's journaling down the road, man. Like, but take it there and ask God, what does fear cost you? If it costs them financial blessing or it costs them provision, like what God had for them, ask him what it's cost you. Then you go back and you get what it's already cost you.
Yeah, because it's kind of crazy. Like, people will tell me, like, I think I had recently somebody tell me from my Inside Out video that you have, like, a salesmanship, like, personality, just drawing. And I'm like, that's got to be supernatural, because when I tried sales and marketing, I absolutely failed at it because of that fear.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's
awesome. And I've had this lingering fear all day, and I just put up an item on Etsy. Yeah. And that's no big deal. I mean, it's just 20 cents to put a listing up. You can have it up for 4 months.
Yeah, so. That's amazing. Keep doing work with that. I'm going to ask you about it, keep you accountable for it. Anybody?
Hey, Megan?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Something important came up downstairs, and I have to let you go.
Okay, sure. Mariah, thanks.
I love you guys all, and I love all you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. See you, Mariah.
Bye-bye.
Anybody else have anything that they want to share before we M-I-C-K-E-Y? See you real soon. No? Too old for that. All right. I wanted to share just one other thing about, like, me processing through that thing. So when I got that whole, like, where's the fruit of my unbelief, and I got it right before bed, and I really haven't had time to process through that, like, the Lord just totally answered my question. And I just, like, God's so good. Like, sometimes we just get afraid to approach him because we're like, oh, I have unbelief. That's so gross. And, like, I don't, like, God, I can't come before you because I know I have this thing and whatever. Like, it's just such a lie from the enemy. But what the Lord just showed me was that, that to resurrect my parents' marriage wasn't my responsibility. Now that seems like, duh, like when you're three, like, duh, but you know, but it was a false responsibility that especially my dad placed on me to help resurrect their marriage. Like, all across my childhood was a false responsibility to resurrect, their marriage. And without God kind of showing me the root of my unbelief being in that, like, I would never connect those dots, never in a million years. But now, like, what the Lord spoke was, it was not your responsibility to raise that. You were a child. And that false responsibility was placed on you. But now we get to partner to resurrect. So now, like, it just, like, I drew this really goofy smiling face on my paper because that excites me. Now it's like, now that I'm free from that lie, that it was my job to resurrect something that never came back, like it died. Now that I'm free from that lie, now I get to partner with the Lord because I'm all the wiser. And now I do have authority to resurrect. So cool. Mind blown. Just so you know.
I have a question, though. Mm-hmm. Have you tried to raise the dead yet?
That's a whole other story. I wasn't sure I really wanted to go into that, but I just will. So there's a whole nother level. If you guys need to go, you can. Like, yeah, I know, like, you have a long trip to my house tomorrow. So if you need to go, you can. And Heather, I love Heather, and Nikki's here, and Larissa, and Anastasia. But my mom, she died from cancer about 6 years ago. And there's a lot of, I'm probably going to cry. I'm just going to warn everybody. Because when my mom was really, really sick, the Lord gave me a word and he told me about her healing. I had prophetic dreams about it where I would, like, wake up and I knew it was God. It was like when you wake up and you can't move because the spirit is so thick in your room. And I remember one morning, like, waking up at like 6 or 7, and I had this dream, and, like, God totally told me about her healing and being completely healed. And not just in the, like, she got healed in heaven, like, here and healed. So through her process, things, like, got really bad, and I was one of her main caretakers, and she went from looking, like, perfectly normal, and it's such a long story, I'm going to just keep it short, but there towards the end, around the time that God gave me this dream, like, her health got worse and worse and worse and worse, and like, she would just be reaching up in a closet for a sweater and her arm would snap in half. Like, her bone, she would be walking and her vertebrae would break, her hips would break from just trying to walk with a walker. So, she got on oxygen. She was taking steroids. She didn't look like herself at all. And it got really bad. And there were times when she was in the hospital and, like, the doctors were like, call the family. And I would post up in her room, and I had a newborn baby at the time, which, if there's any sickness in the hospital, they don't let newborn baby, like, you know, a few week old or a month old in the hospital. So I'd have to take my son and put him in the waiting room with, like, his dad or my aunts and uncles. And in between feedings, I would go down and I would sit in her chair beside her and I would just pray over her and I would just believe. I just knew she was going to be fine because God had given me the word. I would put notes on her door that was like, if anybody was going to speak death over her, that they had to leave. Like, I would make nurses literally leave the room. I would ask them if they read the sign. Like, Yvette, I'm sure this would have not went over well. It didn't, just so you know. Yvette's a nurse. But I would say, did you read the sign? And they'd be like, no. And I'm like, well, go back out and read it, please. You know, I'm sure that was really annoying for them. But I didn't care. I knew what was going to happen, and I didn't need anybody messing around and speaking death over her. And in that particular instance, the first day, she wasn't very responsive at all. The second day, she didn't become really responsive until the evening. And any moment that I got with her, because nurses were in and out and she was just so out of it, like, I would say, you know, Mom, we're going to do this. Like, God has already spoken. Like, you have to believe it. And, you know, she finally came around enough to be like, that was really close, Megan. Like, that was really close. What are we going to do? And I'm like, we're going to believe. God's already given us a word. My mom was about as crazy as I was. I feel like I may be at the point of superseding her craziness at this point, but she was as crazy as I am in just believing for the healing and understanding. People thought we were crazy in our town because she would not speak ill over herself, regardless of what her circumstances looked like. She held on to her healing. But then as things progressed, it just got harder and harder, but I still believed. After that particular incident, she came out of the hospital at 3 days. She went home and she was better. You know, she wasn't completely healed, but she was able to leave the hospital, which wasn't what they said was going to happen. So she went home after that. Things continued to get worse. And then Lord gave me a dream about my mom looking like she was dead, much like this story of Lazarus. That's why it's going to take me a while to go through it, because he showed me that it would look like she was dead. She would be dead. And I never wanted to tell my mom that that's to the point that she would get to, but I knew God had given me that, and that it would look like she was going to be dead, but to keep praying and believing. Pray when it looks like it's done, right? So I had that word. And when it came to that moment, like, I was a Mary and Martha. Like, I sat beside her as she died, but I had the word. You know, I had the word that they had. I had the confirmation that they had. I had everything that they had, and I still did it. It was so hard. It's still hard to kind of process through that. And I wish I would have believed. And I worshiped through it, like. And I told my mom that I would pray, even when it looked really bad. Like, I would pray. I knew, like, that was the word. Like, I knew it. God was so good to just prepare me for that, even because being her daughter, you know, he's good to prepare us for what we're going to see. He doesn't just leave us just to be in shock. Like, oh my gosh, I never knew it would get this bad. Now what? He didn't. Way before that, he was like, Megan, this is what's going to happen. This is what I need you to do. And then when that time came, like I said, it just, if you've ever been in a situation like that, it's like when the minute I walked in that room to see her, it was like all the oxygen, all the life, all the courage that I had before then was gone. I couldn't, like, I've never felt that before. Like I said, all the times before, I had no problem petitioning for her. And she looked just as bad as she did before. But there was a different look on her face that day, and I'd seen it before, like on my grandma when she died. And I had nothing. I didn't feel like I had anything. And I went to the bath after I saw her, and I was like, I don't feel like I have anything right now. I went to the bathroom and I was talking to God, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Where are you? I have nothing. Couldn't even look at her. And, you know, I was trying to talk to her about, you know, when she got to feeling better. She wasn't responsive. Her eyes were open, but she wasn't really responsive. And my stepdad had told me too at that time, she hadn't went to the bathroom in like 12 hours. She hadn't really done anything. And so I sat beside her. My son, again, was only 3 months old, so he needed nursed again. And she took a drink of water from a sponge, and she basically choked on it, on just like a sip of water from the sponge. There was nothing like you could possibly do. And I knew, right? This was the moment. Like this was the moment that God had talked to me about. And I was aware. And in that moment, I like couldn't do anything. And I just said, like, God, if you can bring her back, like bring her back. But if you're bringing her back so she can suffer and she can go through all this, then don't bring her back. Cause I don't want to see her suffer. I don't want to see her in this place. And like, I know that, you know, probably listening to this, you guys are like, oh, it's not your fault or like whatever. I get that. But I totally see this from a completely different perspective, reading the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And I know the enemy would love to beat me up and cover me in shame and disqualify me and yada, yada, yada. But all it does is increase my authority. And I know that. So have I prayed for anybody dead to raise yet? No, but I know my authority now, and I know how to walk in it, and I know that I'm not disqualified. Like, I'm all the more powerful, like, because the enemy would love to bring this up and, like, carry it away with me. But anyway, you asked, but it only reaffirms God's character. We know how we partner with the Lord. I'm smarter. He's the same God. He's the same God. And I mean, I've considered going and digging her up and praying over her. I've considered it. Don't think I won't, people. But I don't know. We'll just see where I'm at a couple weeks with this story. Could get crazy. So anyway, sorry about all that. I'm not sorry, but yeah, I wasn't going to share that. I was just going to process that later, but thank you for asking, because I'm sure the Lord wanted me to share that.
I had a really tough thing too, where there was a family friend that had 8 kids, and she got brain cancer, and everybody was praying for her. Everybody's believing her. And one day I was praying for her earnestly, like in my prayer closet or whatever. And what I heard was basically that she was going to die and that you're going to raise from the dead, Larissa.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, because that was not at all what I was thinking. I was thinking healing.
Yeah.
And everybody was thinking healing. And so that was a year before she died. And so when she died, we immediately started praying. And I mean, I even tried going there in the spirit and praying for her. And then I thought afterwards, okay, she didn't rise from the dead. I must have made it all up. And so for a long time, I didn't go anywhere in the spirit. And so then we went to her funeral, and I was like all pumped up, and I was confident, okay, I'm gonna pray for her, I'm not gonna leave this place, she's gonna become alive again, and like 8 kids are gonna have their mother back. And so we went to her casket, and it was like, wow, it's like she's dead. I mean, I felt like this is so ridiculous, it's like commanding life over a pillow.
Yeah.
You know. And it's like, I had been expecting, I had been believing, but then, so we prayed for quite a while over it, and I didn't feel free, like I could get loud. I didn't feel, I had such a fear, man, like of what people thought. I mean, is that a funeral?
Yeah.
And so I didn't feel like I was doing it with my whole heart. I felt like I was just doing, you know, kind of half-heartedly. And so I kind of condemned myself for that for a long time. And I just wept when the casket was closed, and it was, years of condemnation, years where it just felt like this heaviness over me, because I thought, it's not God's fault. I'm not going to blame God, because it's not like God is double-minded. It's not like he was, it's not like he is a liar. I mean, it's not like he is one that, you know, says, well, I'm not sure about this. Because a lot of people do that. They blame God for somebody's death, and I don't have that theology. And so I would blame myself. I thought, okay, if I can't blame God, I got to blame myself. And so I just feel like this condemnation for years. And then I just, you know, one day, I don't know how it skinned me, I just took communion, and I expected to be broken off. It was broken off immediately. And it's like I made it so complicated. I would be trying to pray through it for years and just wasn't lifting. But then one day, you know, I just decided, okay, Lord, I am forgiven by you. I am washed by you, and that you give me opportunities and my perspective is changing. So
yeah,
that's kind of the story. And, you know, I have prayed for several dead people after that, even my own brother, and he didn't rise from the dead.
Mm.
And I don't feel a weight of condemnation about it, because it's like, okay, God, I did what I could. I did it with my whole heart, and I'm going to keep on going until I see it.
That's so good. Yeah, that's just it too. I mean, we didn't address like when it doesn't happen tonight, but that's just exactly it. Like you know when you're doing it with your whole heart. And I think like processing through like unbelief for me is just like, I know there's a little something there. And for me, I never felt like the unbelief. I knew it didn't stem from this issue with my mom, because like God has actually given me a lot of peace about other components of that situation. But like I said, this whole like Lazarus thing just kind of opened my eyes to another thing of it. But that perspective right there, it's like, I know I'm doing it with my whole heart. I know I'm using everything I've got now, and like I'm believing for God's glory for this to be done. When it's not done, okay, back to the drawing board. God, teach me. Like, is it me? Is it this? Is it like, and you don't obsess about it. That's the other thing. The driving thing we're always going to is like seeking God, not the healing, not the resurrection, like just deeper into the Father. It doesn't happen. God, like, show me your heart. Not why didn't this thing happen? You can take that to him, but don't obsess about it. Like the enemy would love to distract us with whatever, like this didn't happen. What happened? Is it my unbelief? Is it their unbelief? Like people get tied up there. Like, is it my unbelief or whatever? Like you talk to the Father, you hear his voice, then you move forward. Talk to the Father, move forward. Okay, God, show me my heart. What do we need to deal with?
Wow. So this is a good time tonight that we had a discussion and just the word. Awesome.
I'm glad that you got to join us. Super excited.
I was like an hour late though. Is that even acceptable? Right.
You got to the good part. We do this every Friday at 9 p.m. Central. Anybody else have anything? Or you guys, I mean, we didn't get to the lymphatic system, but I felt like we got to the good stuff. Just have to keep my nerd talk for later. Nope. Okay. God, just bless us, Lord. As we go out, Lord, we know you will. God, I know you've anointed each one of us tonight, Lord. Just increase revelation. I can just feel the revelation, Lord, that you have gifted each one of us, Lord, that we go forward. You open our eyes to opportunity, God. Just open our eyes to opportunity, God, that we walk in freedom and authority in our identity, Lord. Just walking in our identity, God, and that is connected with your Holy Spirit, you leading, guiding, and us just walking with you, Father. Let it go deep, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys are free to go, or not, it's up to you. Yvette, I suggest you do, and I'm going to have to go soon too, got an early morning. Yvette is coming to my house. She lives in Georgia, so she is going to come and hang out with me tomorrow. We're going to go do yoga and holy yoga in the morning and have fun.
Indeed. Looking forward to it.
Hey, quick question.
Yes.
Do you know these people in real life, or are they Facebook friends? Obviously, I'm a Facebook friend.
Nope. You, buddy, are the only Facebook friend here. Yvette was a client of mine for a while, and just really she's just a friend that I love dearly, and she is from Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. Nikki, who is on the phone, she's a friend of mine as well. We kind of went through a fitness ministry certification thing. That's how we know each other, and now we're just like really great friends, and she is from Texas. Heather, real life friend, same thing. Anna is in Arkansas. Anna and Mariah were from Arkansas, and I know them from real life too, music and touring and all that good stuff, and she's a real life friend. Yeah, for sure. So So you should feel special because I found you and plucked you out of, you know, Facebook.
And I'm not an old man.
You're not an old man. Yes.
Dang.
So you there? And so what happened is there's a Facebook group. What's it called? Do you know what it's called? What's that group called?
Are you asking me or?
Yeah. What's that group?
The Ecclesia?
Yeah. And it's just like, I feel like what I know is like supernatural, like they just take it to a whole nother level. And it's just like encounters and like all this stuff. And so I have another friend who is in that group. And then I don't know why you stuck out to me. I think you said something or whatever. And I don't know, but I was like, she's got it together. Like, and then I friended her. She's like, did you Facebook shop me? And I'm like, yes, I did. Because that's what I do. I want like believers that are like, pull you up higher and higher and higher. And you know, I just, whatever you radiated, girl, I was like, that's one I need on my team.
Yeah. And I let you sit a few months. I think I even deleted your friend request, but then I was looking through my subscribers and stuff and you're a subscriber. And I was like, yeah, you friend requested me a few months ago. Maybe I should friend request you. Because I didn't at first because I couldn't see much of what you were about. Like, I couldn't really see what you posted, if you posted something revelatory. I didn't see that you were friends with anybody that I knew. And so I just kind of let it sit. I was like, but you kind of remind me of so-and-so. So I might actually like them.
Which is great.
Made the cut, Megan. Made the cut.
Made the cut. That's all I need to know. That I made the cut. Isn't that funny? Oh my gosh. Well, I actually am like sitting here thinking, I'm really glad that like hearing from somebody else's perspective, they really couldn't see that much of what I was about or whatever. Cause I'm like, I really don't want a whole lot out there. So I'm like, that's actually kind of cool that, you know, you couldn't, but I guess it's not helpful if I'm trying to friend request somebody and they're like, hashtag creeper.
Yeah, because I like to stalk people's Facebooks before I add them because I'm like, I gotta make sure they got a good revy, you know.
You gotta do it. I mean, if anybody is seen the show Catfish, you have to you can't just add anybody. There's people's really the place.
That's why I have most of my stuff public, so not all of it. I mean, the stuff about Jesus I have public, but my personal stuff, like as far as like photos of me as a little kid, I think most of those are private.
Smart.
Hey, May, can I?
Yeah.
Hey, May, can I pray over you and Yvette's time together?
Yeah, please.
When are you leaving, Yvette?
About 5 hours from now.
Oh, wow. And you're leaving on Sunday?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So, Father God, we thank you for these calls on Friday and just everything you've walked with us through the last, I guess it's been almost over a month, Father. And, Father, we just thank you for just the obedience that Megan has when she hears from you, Father. And even if it doesn't make sense, she brings it to the call, Father. And we've just seen such amazing things happen, Father. And, Father, I've just noticed even throughout the weeks just this brighter light that just keeps shining from me, that Father, and I love getting on the computer and just being able to see what you're doing in our sister's lives, Father, and unfortunately tonight I couldn't see the bright light in Yvette's face, but Father, we just thank you for the trip that you have planned for her, Father, for this encounter that she's going to get to go have with you. Father, I just ask for supernatural protection over her travels, Father, just favor over her travels. Father, we just ask for supernatural encounters for Megan and Yvette as she's there, Father. I just ask that you order their steps, Father, that you put people in their path that need prayer, need healing, Father. Even if the situation looks dead, Father, we ask that you show them where there's life in it, Father. And Father, we thank you for just the kind of person that you've created Megan to be, that she does open her home so graciously to so many people to come in and just do life with them, Father. So, Father, we just thank you for that, Father. We just pray over Yvette's family as she's gone. Father, just pray for Megan's family. Father, just adjusting. I know for little ones, it's hard just to adjust to these different kind of schedules. Father, I just pray a special encounter for Yvette to have with Rhythm and Gabe, ma'am, because they're amazing kids, Father. And Father, they can show you so much about your kingdom. So Father, I just pray for a special time with Yvette and the kiddos so that she can see childlike faith, because I know that when we were there, it was just amazing just to watch them too in action for the love that they have with you. And Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity and ability for them. We just ask that you bless their time together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Nikki.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're welcome, Yvette. I'm a little jealous, but y'all just take pictures and we'll see them.
All right. We'll Facebook them.
There you go. Let us see this impossible situation that turned possible through faith.
That's right.
We want to hear it. We want to hear testimonies, girls.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Oh, and Yvette, if you want to make your trip worthwhile, there's one thing that you have to do while you're in Tennessee visiting Megan and Ryan.
What's that?
It is watching Ryan do the whip and the nay-nay.
The whip and the nay-nay.
Yeah, ask him, man. He gets ghetto with it. That dude knows how to whip a nay-nay.
Have you heard that song, Yvette?
Whip a nay-nay? No.
So.
Oh, well, you're going to have to break it down for her. I mean,
yeah,
it's just going to have to happen.
It'll happen.
All right, well, maybe we'll have to video it then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nothing can hold Ryan back from a good nay-naying. If you do nay-nay, N-A-E-N-A-E, like there's a dance and it's just, yeah.
Oh, now I'm going to have to.
Ryan is an inner boy band member. Like boy band member, and you look at him and you're like, he's such a manly man, you know, like he has a lot of chest hair, just like looks like real manly, and you wouldn't know that deep down he's, you know, like a JC Sajay or whatever his name is.
You know, this is interesting because Manuel, his inner alter ego is really like a 70s disco star.
I love it. I love it.
So, you know, it doesn't take much to get him going either. A little Casey and the Sunshine Band, a little old school. This could be an interesting.
This could be a lot of fun. We're just going to like.
I hear a dance battle.
I do too.
That's what I'm hearing. Dance battle.
Yep. I'm already
dance off. Dance off.
That's right. All right. Well, I'm gonna let you guys go. So good to hang tonight. So good. So good.
Indeed.
Well, thank you, Megan, for getting vulnerable and just going there and trusting in the Lord and
mm-hmm.
and being obedient.
Thank you for joining. Tell your family.
I know. I kind of totally abandoned what God told me to do, but, you know. In the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
I was really sad that he wanted to. Not that I don't want to be with my family, but I love Friday nights. Like, I really love Friday nights.
Yeah, me too.
Better than the club. You could not. I don't understand why people want to go to the club when you could have this.
I know. Three, four, five. Computer. Chocolate. It's just the way to go.
All right. Well, love y'all, guys. Y'all have a blessed night.
All right. Love y'all. Good night.
Good night. Bye. Bye, Larissa. Bye, Yvette. Bye, Nikki.